The Pickup Show.
Hey, what's up?
What's up, man? How's it going? What's good?
That's good, man. You cut out the first time, but we're good.
Yeah,
we're
here. That's on me. I forgot to burn sage in my house, like Kyrie. So, you know, got some bad spirits in my room right now, man.
Yeah, the vibes right, man. It's Christmas. You don't want any unwanted.
Yeah. No, I got to start burning sage like I'm at the TD Garden, man.
Yo, I got my Jack Daniel's Southern Peach. I'm ready to go.
Ooh, okay, okay.
Club Shay Shay.
Is it good?
Yeah, it's actually pretty good, not gonna lie. Have you ever watched Club Shay Shay show?
I've seen a couple. It's enjoyable. I enjoy it.
It's more entertaining than anything, right? It's not even like...
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Okay, well, I gotta try it out. All right, well, first things first, let's talk about the reigning champions, your L.A. Lakers. So LeBron signed a 2-year extension worth $85 million. AD signed a 5-year, $190 million deal. George, as a Lakers fan, how do you feel?
I love it. I think back-to-back seems really plausible with the roster they got right now. They got a title window that's going to be open a little bit longer than most people expect. I'm happy about it. LeBron, at this point, he's a vet. He's going to get paid. AD cashed out. I know supposedly there were rumors that AD was waiting to see where Giannis went. We'll get to that sooner, but I'm just happy that he's locked in and he signed long-term. One of my worries was him only signing for the remainder of LeBron's contract. But we saw that LeBron signed his extension, so AD took the 5-year deal. And, yeah, man, I'm excited. I'm excited for the next couple of years of Laker basketball. Hopefully health permits multiple championships.
No, you're right. And the thing I liked about AD's contract, it's I don't know if he was eligible for the Supermax. If he was eligible, I'm glad he didn't take it because that just helps the team out even more.
Mm-hmm.
And LeBron getting a 2-year extension. I mean, LeBron's LeBron. LeBron's the greatest player we've ever seen play basketball. You know,
yeah, I said it. At this point, there's not much you can say to argue.
You can't. He's won in the East. He's won in the West. Yeah, I think, what, 3 finals MVPs with 3 different teams, right? But he probably has more finals MVPs. But.
I think he has 4 because he's a 4-time champion. I think he got 4. MVP twice in Miami, in Cleveland, and with the Lakers.
And that's, what, 4 finals MVP with 3 different teams. It really should be 5, talking about with the 2015 NBA championship when he went up against the Warriors. But that's neither here nor there. But, yeah, LeBron's a GOAT. I think it's great for all of the NBA. It's all good for Lakers teams. And it just brings balance. Not even balance. It just brings, like, I feel like the league, I feel like L.A. does a lot better when the Lakers are number one.
Honestly. I mean, no arguments here. But just to kind of talk about LeBron's contract, and you said the GOAT at this point. Do you think he's going to play with Bronny? Do you think we see that? Do you think Bronny gets to the NBA?
Does Bronny get to the NBA? I've been lucky to see him play a few times. Well, I don't even want to say lucky, but I don't know, man. If Bronny stays the same height he stays right now, I don't think he makes the league. And if the only reason he makes the league is because his daddy is LeBron James. But if he grows to be what his dad is, 6'8", 6'9", 250, then it's a whole different story. But if he's the same height, I don't know.
You know what? I think he'd still make it. That's like 6'5". I'd give him that.
Yeah, but he won't be LeBron. Like, no. I think he's so overhyped. Because whenever game I see him play, freaking Bronny James sneezes, and I'd be like, oh my gosh, that's the greatest sneeze of all time. Like his dad. It's really ridiculous. Like,
put that in the stat sheet, right?
Yeah, put that in the stat sheet. Like, legit, like, Bronny would get a rebound, and then, like, pass it to the open player. And if the owner putting player makes it, oh my gosh, what vision from Bronny. Like, you know, I wish the kid nothing but the best, but we got to pump the brakes on hype because the hype is real with him.
That's exactly how I felt about LaMelo. But we'll get more into that as well later on.
But okay. LaMelo as a sophomore versus Bronny as a sophomore. I'm taking LaMelo any day.
Look, I'm not saying who's better or who's worse. I'm
hype
that some of these kids get in high school. Like, yeah. Will set them up for failure because if they don't reach that, guess what? They're gonna hear it.
No, I feel it, but the thing I don't like, and this goes up to, I guess, like the NBA, I guess, is like, well, the NBA doesn't really have super teams anymore, which I really like, but Sierra Kenyon has given Bronny a lot of help. A lot of help. Last year, he was a freshman. They brought in two McDonald's All-American and BJ Boston, Zaire Williams. They brought in a lot of transfers. This year, they brought in a few transfers, and they also got a transfer who just came in right now, who transferred from Taft High School back to Sierra Canyon. And they also have Amari Bailey, who's the number 3 shooting guard in the class of 2022. Shout out to Justin, because that's his class. He has a lot of help, and I'm going to just say that. So if he doesn't grow and stays the same size, I don't think we see Bronny in the league. Or if he is, he's a bench player.
That's a fair assessment, but I think he makes it.
That wasn't even a topic. Oh, if he makes it, he'll probably make the league because of his last name. He will make it. Like, but will he be LeBron or will he be a star? No.
And that's not a star. Tough to rise to those expectations, especially with him getting a lot of those in high school right now.
Yeah, and you know what, man? In the league, daddy's not going to tweak some rosters so you can have a good person on your team.
Hey, LeBron's been doing his entire career for himself. I'm sure he can find a way to do it for Bronny.
No. I disagree. But anyways, that wasn't even a topic, but I wish him nothing but the best, though.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that.
So we can go ahead and get into the next big signing, as we foreshadowed earlier. Basically, the biggest domino of next year's free agent class, you know, it fell a year earlier. And a lot of the teams that were trying to maybe keep space open for him. You know, congratulations. You played yourself on that one. But Giannis decided to stay with the Bucks, and he re-upped on a 5-year, $228 million contract. Daniel, thoughts?
You know what? As a story, it was great. You know, great for Giannis. He has a great story coming out of Greece. He was homeless. He was very poor with his brothers. Now he's the richest contract in NBA history. Great story. Now, basketball-wise, I would take Ben Simmons over Giannis. I feel like today is going to be a lot of those quotes for me. Mm-hmm. Giannis, you know what? Giannis can't shoot. Giannis can't pass. Those are the two things. And I think because of those two things, that is why I can't take Milwaukee seriously. And I never could. I don't care if they're number one in the East for the two past years. Like I said before, it's cute what they're doing, but they're not NBA players. It's not championship basketball. Now you're bringing in, I don't care what you think about them, but now you bring in Kevin Durant and Kyrie, pair him with Spencer Dinwiddie, Caris LeVert, Joe Harris. You pair him up with Jared Allen. Mm-hmm. That's a scary team. We'll talk about that more later, but I think Milwaukee's championship window has officially shut. Oof. And I feel comfortable saying that. Oof. What do you think?
I wouldn't say it's shut, but we've seen, you know, past couple of years, you know, if there's a premium on shooting right now and people are paying shooters tremendous amount of money, Giannis is getting paid the richest basketball contract in basketball history. But he can't shoot. So I think that it was a bit of a desperate attempt. This is probably the biggest thing Milwaukee has had since Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I mean, if you want to throw in that run that Michael Redd had in the I believe it was like in the mid to early 2000s. I mean, yeah, you can, but to pay a guy that much and for him to be limited offensively, being able to, you know, create shots for himself. And we've already seen that when you take away the paint from him, he's essentially useless on the court as an offensive player. He'll still serve his purpose defensively. But to pay that much and commit that much money, it just seemed like a desperate attempt to try to keep the window open for a couple more years. Like I said, I wouldn't say it's close shut, but it's definitely on its way to getting there.
I think it's close because I'm kind of seeing LeBron. I'm kind of seeing Milwaukee's situation. It's kind of similar to the Clippers situation, even though the Clippers had way more talent. When it's done, man. And I think either one, they'll lose to the Lakers in a championship because I think the Lakers are going to be good. Or two, they're going to lose to Philadelphia. Philadelphia looks really good. Or Brooklyn. Brooklyn looks really good. The East, people will not admit this, but the East actually looks a lot better this year.
Oh, easily.
Compared to last year. And it's not going to be no cakewalk.
Nope. Which it's awesome to see that kind of balance in both conferences. It makes basketball fun. It makes watching out-of-market games fun because the game itself is better.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah. So, all right, man. Let's go to John Wall and the Russell Westbrook trade. We're not going to go over the draft pick or any of that. Just give me your thoughts on the move.
Initially, I felt bad for John Wall because he was going to have to go play with Harden. I thought it was a great move for Westbrook. He gets to play with Bradley Beal, who we know can play off the ball a lot better than James Harden can. So I feel Westbrook is a hell of a lot happier. I like Washington. I like what they're doing. I like how they look this season. So far, I've liked what I've seen out of John Wall and DeMarcus Cousins playing together. We saw what Wood did yesterday. I think he put up, what, 27 points?
He's a bad man, man. Yeah. I keep saying.
I like what I saw out of him. So right now I feel that both teams won because I know I had mentioned in one of our previous podcasts that I don't see Houston in the playoffs with that. But you know what? If they're healthy, if John Wall can stay healthy, if DeMarcus Cousins can get a full season, and you throw in Christian Wood, yeah, I mean – I see Houston in the playoffs this year, and I could also see the Wizards in the playoffs. So I see this as it was a win for both. It was a huge loss for James Harden, though, because the Rockets are basically showing that they can get on without him, and we'll get more into that. But, yeah, I think it was a huge win for both.
No, I think I still don't understand why the trade happened. I still don't understand. Like, again, I will always give credit to you there, who you were the first person to say – why is no one talking about how many players James Harden has played with? Mm-hmm. You listed the players to me. I'm like, you know what? You're right. And now I'm starting to hear it. Now I'm starting to hear, is James Harden the problem? So I will give you the number one credit for that. You were the very first person to say that. But thank I think going back, giving respect, going back to the trade, I think it was a win for both teams. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with Bradley Beal now. Westbrook, I guess he wanted a team, and I guess he has his quote-unquote team. I don't think it's even his team. But if he wanted his own team, then why did he ask for a trade?
Yeah.
That makes no sense. You had your own team in Oklahoma. They were pretty good. Chris Paul took him to the sixth seed. So... like I don't understand that, and this off season has been a big fat L for guys from LA, and Russell Westbrook wasn't even the worst one who had like the worst summer, for a guy from LA. But it's just we're just looking like prima donnas.
Yep.
Which I don't like, but no. Overall for the trade, I'm a big fan of John Wall. I think people were hella sleeping on him.
I know I was.
He looks phenomenal. Boogie looks phenomenal. Christian Wood, I said that was a great signing. And that was the reason why I put him as a winner for my offseason.
And by the way, sorry to cut you off. Did you see Christian Wood look off James Harden yesterday when he grabbed the rebound?
Oh, yeah.
Loved it. Loved it.
Loved it. I loved what the announcer said. Like, who needs James Harden? I was like, damn. But, yeah, man, I think it's good for both teams. We're just waiting for that domino with James Harden.
Yep.
And with that, we're just going to go right into it. What are your thoughts on this whole James Harden situation?
I just want to start with I told you so. Really, it's just a shame. This just looks like a spoiled kid who was given the keys to the car and he totaled it. And now he just wants to point fingers and blame everyone else. But when he got to Houston, he was viewed as this awesome, you know, franchise cornerstone. I didn't think he was that. And you know, evidence of that is when you're in the NBA finals and the team gets rid of you when you're the leading scorer off the bench because of certain activities you may have been doing during the finals. You know, let's just put it out there. Supposedly he was partying the night before. And yeah, it was all fine and dandy. You know, he'd come in, let him party, and he's going to put up the points for you. But now you're starting to see the baggage that comes with that when you give someone that much slack. And yeah, dude, it's blown up in Houston's face, but you know, he asked for Dwight, that didn't work. Apparently him and Dwight, you remember when that story came out that they would eat, you know, their own table and everyone else would eat somewhere else. Mm-hmm. He's probably going to get, you know, a little bit of a taste of that with John Wall and DeMarcus Cousins being Kentucky guys and him being, on the outside. Yeah, man, it just sucks to see that. And he's just a complete diva. He looks tremendously out of shape. And just the biggest thing I want to add to this is for him to demand a trade like that and, you know, not take care of himself, be out, besides it being completely unprofessional, he signed a contract. And it's not like, you know what, this is the last year, so we're going to have to trade you. You know, so if he demands a trade and this is his last year, hey, you got to get what you can from him because if not, he'll walk away. Mm-hmm. I think he's locked in for two more years. So Houston isn't in any rush, and clearly they're playing fairly well without him. So I say hold on to him until you can get top dollar. But that's on James Harden for putting himself in that situation. But when you look at players like Kobe Bryant when they demanded a trade, he had already won championships. What exactly has James Harden done to, you know, get these privileges and feel like, you know, the franchise does what he says? What has he done? Yes, he's won an MVP. He got to the Western Conference Finals, and what happened? He choked. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't get why. I just don't get how this happened or why Houston even let it get this far. Because he clearly it wasn't a guy early on that was going to get you there. Mm-hmm. And he hasn't proven to do it to this day.
No, I agree with you. I hope Houston doesn't trade him because I think they could be a problem in the West if everyone's mm-hmm. healthy and he buys in and actually decides that he wants to win. I mean,
and that's the big – sorry, go for it.
No, you're right. It is the biggest thing. And him gaining weight reminds me what Charles Barkley did, I think, to Philadelphia, I think. He won it out of Philadelphia and then, like – gained a whole bunch of fucking weight, and then they traded him to Phoenix, around that. It was one of the teams, but he's doing the Charles Barkley.
But the worst part is, what were you doing out there? I was training. Like, at least own up to it, dude. Come on, like, there's video of you. Was you training when you had a strip club and shit like that, dude? Come on,
I was training. No, and here's my thing. Because I see that in the topics you have trade rumors, and I wouldn't want anyone to go for him. I don't think anyone wants to go for him right now. I'm not paying top dollar for that.
I wouldn't. Because that's the thing. You bring in a guy like that who's, you know, shuffled through teammates, you know, consistently. He's going to come in and he's going to mess up whatever chemistry you have established. So I know, for example, Philadelphia, there's already a chemistry there. I know they're bringing in a new coach, but Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, fairly familiar with each other, been playing for a while now. You bring in a James Harden, starting from scratch, that team's taking a dump. The Nets, yes, there's Kyrie and KD, but you got a fresh head coach. We don't know how Steve Nash is going to be. So they're still trying to establish a culture there. And believe me, James Harden's not the guy you bring in to establish any form of culture in your locker room.
And here's the thing. You forget who's the assistant coach for the Brooklyn Nets. It's Mike D'Antoni.
Yes. Yes.
So why would they want to do that? So why would James Harden want to go back to both of his exes in Daryl Morey and Mike D'Antoni? It makes no sense.
Why is James Harden in the club during a pandemic when the season's about to start? These are questions that James Harden has to answer himself.
These are things. I mean, I guess we just got to ask his trainers at the club. All right, George, let's go into it. Paul George, from one LA native to a Palmdale native or wherever he wants to claim he's from. Paul George and Doc Rivers, what are your thoughts on those shots for shots?
Well, first of all, I don't think Doc, you know, really sent out any shots. I think he handled it well, kind of said, you know what, for the most part, what I got from his response was, I'm not there no more, but hey, the person that was there with me is still there, so if you think it's different, you know, that's going to be on you guys. But for Paul George to say that there wasn't any adjustments and that he wasn't being played right, I mean, last time I checked, it wasn't Doc Rivers who hit who put up a jump shot and hit the side of the backboard. That was 100% Paul George. So, you know, I just think at this point it's starting to become really typical of Paul George to just finger point all the time. It's always somebody else's fault but himself. And if I can be honest, if there's anything at fault for why his play maybe has taken a bit of a dip from his prime in Indiana, and it's understandable, it was his injury. I mean, he hasn't been the same since that. So I think he just needs to recognize that after an injury like that, he wasn't going to be the same player and just kind of, you know, realize that he needs to adjust his game to where his body is at now or for whatever he can do and not so much blame teammates. Because at that point, he's already doing more harm than good to his locker room that's already going through a rough patch.
Yeah. To be honest, I'm on Doc's side, and that's a
problem. Oh, same.
For me, because I was a Doc hater, and like, you know what, like Doc is probably like one of the most winning, is the most winning coach in Clipper history, probably. But like you said, Doc wasn't the one missing layups, missing shots, wasn't the one blowing defensive coverage. He wasn't the one doing all that. Like, you could have had Red Auerbach or Phil Jackson coach the Clippers, but it wouldn't change anything because they're not the ones playing. So I'm 100% on Doc's side. And for Paul George, man, like, yo, just own up to it, bro. Like, just own up to it like you owned up to cheating on Doc's daughter. Like, fuck, dude.
Wow. Own up to it.
That's all I have to say. I'm
so sticking with Paul George. All right, so sticking with Paul George, Daniel, he just signed a 5-year, $226 million contract with the Clippers. And I just want to add this. The Clippers gave up how many draft picks to get Paul George?
Like five or six.
And now they're committing this kind of money to him. How do you feel about that? Like, at this point, I feel like he's cost a lot.
Ah, man. I don't know. Like, I just told B, like, it's hard to root for the Clippers right now with so much stuff going on. Like, you know, I was a fan still when they had, like, the whole Donald Sterling stuff. Because, like, obviously the players didn't do anything. But now the players are – I'm not going to put them in the same name as Donald Sterling. Not at all. But I'm just saying, like, the whole Kawhi drama that Jerry West is being sued for, Paul George not taking responsibility, like, and Patrick Beverley still barking even though he hasn't done crap. Man, just – it's hard to root for them right now. I'm going to be straight up honest with you. But this was just the nail in the coffin for me. Like, really? Like, he had the worst playoff series ever. Ever. And that went back to Dallas. And I've told you that honestly, Dallas should have beaten us or maybe even swept it. I've told you and I've told other people because I was
No, I
watching the
agree.
game and oh my gosh, we should have gotten our ass whooped. And now, like, hey, like, okay, Billy, like, you didn't do your homework. Here's a PlayStation 5. Like, fuck.
Damn, good for Billy, dude.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of this contract. I'm not a fan. I'd rather just have him walk than deal with him.
No, yeah, a part of me wants to agree with what you just said as far as having him walk, but you know what? I know you brought this up not so long ago when you said you wouldn't mind the Clippers getting Westbrook because in the event that Paul George and Kawhi leave, you'd still have Westbrook, correct?
Yeah.
I really don't see Kawhi really committing to any team ever in his career. I really think that he might become a journeyman going from like team to team. Not because he's not good, but I think he's going to ring chase a bit like that or try to put himself in good situations, which, more power to him. But I think as far as the Clippers go, Kawhi hasn't signed an extension, and we don't know what's going to happen with that. So going back to what you said about Westbrook, I mean, at least they're going to be left with Paul George. I mean, that's the only silver lining I can see on this. But I mean, damn, has he cost the team a lot in draft picks, financially now. And all I'm saying is he's gonna have to put up, better performances going forward from now than he did last season, because if not, it's gonna look real bad.
George, would you pay Paul George $45 million?
No.
That's what he's gonna make a year.
Again, though,
I don't even think Russell Westbrook's contract is that bad.
yes, but again, for everything that they gave up, if he would have walked and Kawhi walks, the Clippers would have been in a horrible situation. At least, like you said with Russell Westbrook, at least they'll still be Paul George. If there's some kid out there right now who, really idolizes Paul George and comes into the league, and he says, "I want to play with Paul George." Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's probably the best case scenario at this point, but at least he'll still be there. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Yeah, I feel
there'll
you.
be a recognizable name, especially right now that they're gonna move into another arena. Do you think they want to move into like a new arena, not have Kawhi, not have Paul George, not have draft picks? That would be so horrible. At least when they open and say, "Hey, we got Paul George."
Yay, Daddy's always happy. That's how I feel with that, man. Like, it's at this point, man, with the Clippers, it is what it is. I'm not, it is what it is, man. I feel
I know
so
our next
defeated.
topic. Oh, dude, I hear you, man. Well, I'm riding high right now because of that Charger victory yesterday. You know what I'm saying? He was
Hey.
in. But no, yeah, I feel you, man.
Hey,
I feel you.
but going back to this, because like how much better could Paul George get? But like two months, maybe 3 months after playing in the
That's the same question I had about Kuzma. So I,
exactly.
like I said, I get you. Like when I said, "Oh, Kuzma's gonna surprise everyone." Like he had a month off. How much did he get in a month?
Oh, man. I'm sorry, but I
But
just
no,
had to say
I'm
that.
good. No, I get you. I wouldn't pay him 45. I just feel that the franchise is, their hands were tied and they had to do something.
Chris
I'm
Paul has
sure they
come
would have
home.
preferred. Yeah, I mean, at this point, but again, I mean, even when he was here, he was paid big money, but he always got hurt when they needed him most. So it's just tough. And yeah, like I said, I think it just goes back to, that video I sent you. It's just there's just something going on there, man.
Yeah, I guess being in Buffalo and San Diego, you got the double trouble.
Nah, definitely. I know our next topic, is going to go more into college basketball. So I figured we skip that one for the end
No,
and
we
we
could
could
just
just.
go through it right now. Because
All right,
I
because.
don't have a lot to say on it, do you?
Not really, but it's because the next topic kind of still sticks with the Clippers. I just figured it'd be a smoother.
What's the next topic?
The Jerry West situation with Kawhi Leonard.
Oh, you did not write that down.
I wanted to ambush you with that one.
Oh, fuck me.
Go ahead.
All right. So, so apparently Jerry West right now is being sued. I don't know exactly by who, but apparently it's a friend of Kawhi's Uncle Dennis, from what I've seen in the media outlets. He was promised $2 million, supposedly, in exchange for, you know, Kawhi committing to the Clippers. You know, there's already voicemails where, you know, you see Jerry West sounding a little bit arrogant, you know, saying, oh, the Lakers think they got him, but, you know, they're not going to want to go to, you know, a shit show like that. And, you know, to that I say, ha, how the tables have turned, right? How the turntables.
I was going to say that.
Yeah. So just because I know you mentioned about how it's been a rough offseason for a lot of these LA players. Daniel, thoughts on this whole situation? And before you give us your thoughts, I want to ask one question to you specifically. Given now that you know what's going on, would you have still rather locked up Kawhi Leonard or Paul George?
Wait, what do you mean locked up?
Okay, so you know you already have Paul George locked up for the next 5 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now that you know what's going on with Kawhi, do you feel that maybe that signing had to take place?
Yeah, Paul George had to come. It was a package deal. If I would have known what would have happened this year, I would have said fuck no. But You know, last year or a year and a half ago, I don't even know when last season, like 2 seasons ago, ended, but Kawhi was arguably the best player in the league, you know, winning the championship, mm-hmm. beating the Warriors. Paul George, I think, was second or third in defensive player of the year. It was a match made in heaven. There, you know, Kawhi's from Moreno Valley, and Paul George, I think, is from Palmdale. You know, both LA boys coming home. But if I would have known it was this shady, that's why I'm kind of comparing the Clippers right now to like how it was when Donald Sterling, when that whole fiasco happened.
But are you really surprised, though? I mean, we're already – because we heard with the recruitment of Kawhi Leonard and all that kind of stuff where his uncle was asking for some illegal stuff. You know, when I say illegal stuff, I'm not saying, like, you know, he was asking for drugs or anything. No, he was asking for, like, illegal benefits as far as, well, I want to get this much money if he goes here. And he wants to have his own jet. So how surprising really is this? And because those demands were made by his uncle, I wouldn't put it past, you know, any organization to catch the biggest fish in free agency last season to maybe comply with some of those requests.
You know, I do remember that, and sometimes you just want to give like the players the benefit of the doubt.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, honestly, I really wish we didn't get him at this point. Unless I was talking to one of my other friends, and I'm like, dude, like at this point with all this shit happening, I want a ring because this is a lot. This I don't think I've ever been this depressed as a Clippers fan.
That says a lot.
So because at least when we were sucking, we had young talent, right? Like 2 years ago, I was hoping to tank so we can get 2 lottery picks from Detroit and ourselves, but we made the playoffs and that team looked like dogs, you know? Sure, mm-hmm. Trez, Lou, Pat Bev, Shea looked good. And I was like, why not rock with them? And then, you know, everything happened. But the Clippers look terrible right now. Like, as a Clippers fan, it's really tough. And I have yet to hear anything from Steve Ballmer. And I really hope he says something for being, like, so cracked up and at the games. Like, he needs to say something.
No, yeah, I agree. I think he needs to put his foot down here. I guess the only difference between Kawhi Leonard right now and James Harden is that Kawhi's won championships. But at this point, when it comes to that entitled attitude, it looks like we're seeing that Kawhi and James Harden are a little bit more alike than people initially thought. I'll be honest. I really thought Kawhi was just one of those quiet dudes who was about the game. You know, I'll let my agent and my people handle the business, and I'm going to focus on playing basketball. And now we're seeing that, you know what? He is a little bit sneakier than we thought as far as his diva behavior goes.
And we should have seen that coming with he started having problems with the Spurs. We should have seen it coming.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Mm-hmm. Like, if Kawhi – this goes back, again, like two seasons ago when Kawhi hit that Game 7 shot against Philadelphia, I really thought Philadelphia should have won that. But let's say if he didn't hit that shot, he didn't win that championship – will we be talking about Kawhi the same as we are talking about now? And I don't think so.
Probably not. Probably not. And let's also be honest. If that isn't one of the luckiest shots anyone has ever seen.
Yeah. So, but, yeah. I mean, I guess it's kind of like a stock. I guess the Clippers bought at the all-time high, and we should have looked at the history. Just like in
sports. You know, when I see Kawhi, the main thing I think is, you know, not everything that glitters is gold. You know?
Yeah.
And that's just the vibe I get from Kawhi now.
I agree. So that's how I feel about this whole situation. I'm exhausted.
I did not mean to bum you out.
Oh, man. Well, let's go to another,
I'll say this, though, before we get to that. It sounds like that Jack Daniels is starting to hit a bit, huh?
No. I'm just tired.
Oh, I got you.
Oh, no. Yeah.
All right, so we can go ahead and get into our next topic. I'm sure most of us already saw the video. I don't know if you saw the video. But Florida University player Keontae Johnson collapsed on court. He was stretchered off the court, and he was in a medically induced coma for a while. Actually, I don't know if you already saw the video that came out today where he's thanking, you know, the hospital workers and the staff for taking care of him and
good.
For all the prayers.
Good.
It's awesome to see that he's fine, because I'm not going to lie. You know, you see that video, and there was just so many parallels. I know the first person that came to mind, to me anyways, right away was Hank Gathers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just looks so similar. And, you know, thank God that it was a completely different outcome and that he's okay. And hopefully he works his way back onto the court. But when we wrote these topics, you know, he hadn't released a video that he released today. You know, today's Friday, December 18th. Mm-hmm. So it's just great to see that, you know, he's doing significantly better.
No. Yeah. I'm really happy he's doing a lot better. This I compared, you know, I can't even compare. It's really sad what happened. I think we haven't had something like this happen in college basketball since Andrew Jones in Texas a few years back, where right. Andrew Jones, you know, he was going to be, you know, a lottery pick, but he got leukemia. So, you know, prayers and blessings to him and his family, Keontae Johnson's.
Definitely.
So, but all right, let's get to the fun stuff now.
Yes.
All right. And I must say, before we even start this, I don't know about you, but the awards section was kind of hard for me.
You know what? That's crazy, because I did not have that. I mean, I have a couple players that I think are going to be in the running.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't find it as difficult.
Really?
Yes.
I guess for me, I found it kind of difficult because – and I'm going to say this right now. I think this is probably going to be the most entertaining basketball season. We already said that this was going to be the most random season just because of the amount of rest some teams got. But I think this is going to be the most fun season we have seen in a while, both East and West.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say that.
The competition seems leveled. Both conferences seem strong. Like you said, there's not a whole lot of super teams. We got more of the dynamic duos coming back. And then, you know, you throw in the whole, you know, COVID situation where you got some teams that haven't played in, what, close to a year?
Yeah.
And then you got teams that just finished playing, like, what, a month and a half ago? So it's going to be fun and interesting.
It is. I can't wait. So, but all right, Coach of the Year, George, who do you have?
See, I'm between – two or three coaches. For me, I have Frank Vogel. I think he has a shot at winning it this year because of what he did last year, which I know it sounds weird, right? But if the Lakers, you know, are the same Lakers that they were last year, I see Frank Vogel taking it. I could also see Mike Malone, you know, being in the running. But the pick I have to win, and it's only because I'm expecting this player to take a massive step forward, I'm going to have to go with Rick Carlisle. I think Rick Carlisle takes home Coach of the Year this year.
Okay, just a reminder, KP won't be able to play until January. But that's
I get that 100%, but I feel like if you have when you have a player like Luka, and they're not exactly, you know, like, I'm not going to say they have someone that can replace KP's production, but I feel like they can get by without him.
Okay. My Coach of the Year, I only have one person, and I'm riding high on this team. Actually, I'm riding really high, and that's Mike Malone for the Denver Nuggets. He's a great, phenomenal coach. Sacramento should have never let him go.
Nope.
I'm going with Mike Malone. I think this is his year. I think we're going to see, even though I know they lost Jeremy Grant, I know they lost Miles Plumlee. But Miles Plumlee looking like shit in Detroit, so that doesn't even matter. But
he looked like shit in Denver.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe that was a blessing, but losing Jeremy Grant was tough. But I really like Mike Malone.
I know losing Jeremy Grant was tough, but when we get to the next award, I'll address that. But even in losing Plumlee, I mean, I feel like that was a good thing to let him go because it opens up minutes for Bol Bol. I don't know if you saw the other seven-footer they got, Isaiah Hartenstein. I think he's like from Germany. He looked solid, man. He looked aggressive. He looked like a high motor guy. He moves fluidly for a big guy. So, you know, I'm a little excited to see what he does.
My thing with Isaiah is I think he was with the Rockets for a bit. He really didn't get much. This is like his third or fourth year in the league, I believe. Mm-hmm. And he was with another team and couldn't get reps. So I would kind of pump the brakes on him, my opinion. But you're right. Bol Bol, I think he probably will get some minutes. And they also have Jamichael Green, which was the Clippers never used. But
great signing.
So I'm really high on Denver. All right, most improved, George.
Again, so I just spoke about Jeremy Grant and how, yes, it sucks that they lost him, but I feel like they have someone who's going to take a huge leap forward, and we already saw the beginning of that in the bubble this last season in the playoffs. And I got Michael Porter Jr. as most improved player. I really think that he's going to skyrocket, and they're not going to miss Jeremy Grant as much as people expect them. People expect them to miss him because they're going to have Michael Porter Jr.
Let me just take my shot real quick. he would have looked good in a Clipper uniform, but knowing the history, he probably would have gotten hurt. But my most improved is also Michael Porter Jr. I was super high in the 2018 NBA draft. I said I would take him number one if he was healthy. But Michael Porter Jr. is the man, and I think he's going to – people are going to know who Michael Porter Jr. is.
So, look, man, I still remember just, you know, you flipped out. Because, I mean, you said Shay? Like, it kind of just sounded like, you know, Soulja Boy when he was like, Drake?
Drake?
Yeah, but you were like, Shay? And then, you know, they had that the next pick after that, I believe.
Yeah, they did have the next
pick. Yeah, and you were like, okay, this guy will be Michael Porter Jr. And out of nowhere, you hear, you know, Jerome Robinson out of left field. Yeah, man, no, it's – I don't know what to tell you, man. I really don't know.
Hey, shout out to – because I was high on Miles Bridges. Shout out to Miles Bridges right now. He's looking good.
Yes, he is.
I'll talk about him later, but he's looking good. But let's go.
So we should get – yeah, go for it.
Sixth man of the year. Do you want me to lead this off or you? Because I think you guessed the first two first.
All right, that's fair.
Okay. So mine, I only have one person. The reason why I chose this person is because I don't think he's going to be a starter this year. Nothing against his talent, but I think – the team that he plays for is just just did phenomenal in getting more help.
Oh, great. I know who you're going to say.
And that person, who was also a sleeper pick, and I think 2018 NBA draft for George and I, sixth man of the year, Gary Trent Jr. Portland is going to be
great.
That's my sixth man.
Just want to say a quick hot take. Portland will more than likely be in the Western Conference Finals this year.
I can see that. I can see that.
Crazy that you go with Gary Trent Jr. I also only have one guy winning sixth man of the year, and it is also a Portland Trailblazer, but it's not Gary Trent.
Don't do Derek Jones Jr.
I could see Carmelo taking the sixth man of the year award this year. I know he hasn't won MVP, he hasn't won a championship yet, but I can see him winning sixth man of the year, Carmelo Anthony.
Wow, we picked two Portland guys.
Yep.
Wow.
Goes to show how well they did in the offseason.
Yeah, shit. So, all right, rookie of the year. I don't think there's no secret out here. I know in the draft, I went from loving LaMelo to liking him. Just because I think it was like analysis paralysis. I've seen so much video of him and, you know, you start to rethink everything. But LaMelo Ball has looked really good. And I'm not even seeing points. I'm not even saying scoring. Just he's made his team better. He's made his team fun to watch. He has made Miles Bridges look really good. He's made P.J. Washington look really good. He's made Bismack Biyombo look really good. He's making his team looking really good. And that's what you want in your point guard. So, rookie of the year, no question. And the thing, he's going to have the ball a lot. And I said that in the 2018-19 season. I said I would take Luka or Trey in rookie of the year. And who won it? Luka. Who was second? Trey.
Yeah.
Who's going to have the ball out? LaMelo.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And let's just also throw out the obvious. He's already a better shooter than Lonzo. So,
Bro.
Yeah.
But I will say this. I will say this because let's talk about rookies now. LaMelo's getting a lot of love, and I'm happy. But let's not overlook the other rookies. The other rookies, there's been really good performances. Devin Vassell for the Spurs looks really good. Anthony
Edwards, also had 18 points yesterday.
18,
just like LaMelo.
Who else?
You were mentioning Anthony Edwards.
Anthony Edwards didn't look that bad against Memphis. His team looked like crap, but he didn't look that bad. I don't know why James Wiseman hasn't played. I've been looking for that, but
I think he's on the COVID list.
Oh shit. Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, overall the rookie Malachi Flynn, a sleeper of mine, went up for Toronto, is looking really good as well. There's a lot of guys.
It doesn't sound like you're trying to toot your own horn, but you know, go ahead, dude. You know, toot toot.
I'm trying to think of other rookies that are looking good. Here's one. Cole Anthony, who I had as a buzz. He's looking good.
Yeah, same.
He's looking better than Markel. And again, Markel. But yeah, but any rookies on your end or that you know of?
No, because I'm focused on two in the rookie of the year race. One of them you mentioned, but I'll get into the details why. I do have LaMelo as the favorite to win rookie of the year this year because, I mean, his passing ability has been off the chart. I know people have mentioned, you know, when Lonzo came in, oh, you know, he's a tremendous passer. But his passing seemed more fundamental, you know, more on the Jason Kidd side. I see LaMelo, and these are, like, legitimate Magic Johnson-style passes. So it's awesome. So I got him as a rookie of the year right now. But someone who you mentioned, but he hasn't played yet, and that's James Wiseman. I could see him winning rookie of the year mainly because I could see him winning rookie of the year if there's any injuries to the Warriors team. If we see Draymond go down, if we see any one of those guys go down, I could see more touches, more minutes, having more of the offense maybe run through Wiseman, because it's not going to go through Oubre. It's not going to go through Wiggins. People have been waiting for the offense, for an offense to run through Wiggins since he got drafted. And he still hasn't been able to do it. So I think Wiseman is a sleeper there at the rookie of the year if there's an injury. But right now I'm riding with LaMelo as well.
Okay. I can't wait to talk about the Warriors. But, all right, let's go. Defensive player of the year. This one was hard for me. So, George, you're going to go.
Me too.
This one was hard.
I had two. Obviously, the obvious option is Giannis. You know, he's winning back-to-back. I don't think he wins a third in a row. My initial thought was, okay, no way they rob AD twice if AD is healthy. No way. But then I started thinking of how Ben Simmons was playing defensively down the stretch last season. So right now, it's hard for me to say just one, but it's a toss-up for me between Anthony Davis and Ben Simmons for Defensive Player of the Year next year. Mm-hmm. And it's a legitimate toss-up. I really wouldn't be able to tell you. I could see it going to Simmons if AD does a little bit of load management where Simmons plays more. And same thing, if I see, you know, AD play more, then I could see him winning. It's just it's a tough pick between those two. So for me, it's a toss up.
Well, I'm gonna go with out of left field. I'm just gonna go someone who I've crucified with the organization who I've crucified. Oh, I'm gonna go Paul George. He has so much to prove. The whole team has so much to prove. And I think Defensive Player of the Year is going to be Paul George.
Dude, you're confusing me, man. I don't get how you could, you know, run a whole franchise through the mud like that and be like, nah, but I think they got a couple award winners there.
Yo, I'm like, it's kind of like that hopeless romantic. Like, oh, man, okay, like, they cheated on me, like, 25 times. And they, like, wrecked my car, but I still love them.
It's that bad, huh? No, I hear you. I hear you.
So I'm gonna go with Paul George. I'm gonna go with Paul George.
Definitely out of left field. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. All right. MVP, most valuable player. I'm gonna give you the honors because I think my answer is gonna surprise you.
Okay.
George.
I'm between three. I got Luka for obvious reasons. Mm-hmm. LeBron again for obvious reasons. The third guy, it's someone who's been overlooked, and that's Damian Lillard. And if I could be honest, I think this is the year that he gets it. Like I said, I think Portland did great in the offseason. I think this is probably one of the more complete teams and deep teams that Damian Lillard has had, and I'm going to say that he takes home MVP this year.
It is not probably. It is the deepest team. It is the most complete team. If Damian Lillard cannot go to the West Finals with this team, there's going to be questions about Damian Lillard. I'm going to say that. Damian Lillard was my number two.
Oh.
He was my number two. I'm a big Dame fan. But I think this big fella is gonna win MVP. And that
you say Paul George again.
And that big fella is Anthony Davis, I think.
Whoa, okay.
And you know what, man? In the bubble, it looked like the bigs are coming back because no one could stop Anthony Davis. All that small ball did not work with Anthony Davis. He was. But
these aren't your grandparents' bigs.
These aren't your grandmama's bigs. So
no.
I think AD's going to have a – And I know, you know, maybe depending what the Lakers do, you know, if they want to do load management, which I completely understand, then he's not going to win. It's going to be Dame. But this could be a statement to the league season for AD. So, bam, out of left field again.
I like it, though.
Because it's your team. I love it. All right. So let's go with NBA playoffs. Do you just want to go? You go one. I go one. Or how do you want to do it? Or you want me to give me your eight?
We gotta decide if we're gonna go east or west first.
Let's go east because I feel like
let's go east.
So how do you want to do it?
We could do 1-1, and then that way, because I'm pretty sure that we might have some overlap, so yeah, we can do
we
1-1.
Easily
and
will.
Then,
probably the,
exactly.
The and, 17s will be overlapped.
Yeah, and if I say one that you know that you already have, you know, you can just go ahead and chime in real quick.
That's it.
But yeah, no brainer. The East, Brooklyn Nets. They'll be in the playoffs for sure this year.
Hot take: Brooklyn's gonna make the finals.
Ooh, okay.
Hot take. I got hot takes today. So that obviously I had them too.
I can see them.
Milwaukee.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's it?
That's it. Milwaukee.
All right. I have them on my list too. I'm going to throw in the Atlanta Hawks this year.
Oof.
No reason why they shouldn't make it this year.
Oof. Let's see. I have a for sure 7, and the Hawks are in my bubble. And then in that bubble, I have 4 teams. So
I've only got 2 teams in my bubble. I'm not trying to pick all 15 teams, dude. Right?
No, but I think these there's reasons. Okay. Indiana.
Because I figured we're predicting, and it's like, I think 8. I feel like you're going to hit me with that. I think 8 of the 15 teams in the Eastern Conference can make the playoffs.
Dude, just wait till we go to the West, because the West is – I have 6 guaranteed. But
all right.
I said the Pacers. I mean, it's
– Oh.
That's easy.
I agree. I have the Pacers on here too. I mean, they're getting Sabonis healthy again. Victor Oladipo still there. I know there's a coaching change, but yeah. And then I believe we saw what TJ Warren did too.
Yeah.
So I got them in the playoffs as well. My next team, and it's another obvious, the Philadelphia 76ers, they're going to be there as well. There's no way they're not in the playoffs this year.
I do have them. Another team I have is Toronto Raptors.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
I agree. Next team I have is the reigning Eastern Conference champions. I got the Miami Heat in the playoffs this year again.
Same. And I think we've gone Philly, Toronto, Brooklyn, Indiana, Miami, Milwaukee, right?
So far, I've checked off 7.
Yeah, so my last for sure one is the Boston Celtics. And this is a hot take right here. Depending on the seeding, I can see Boston losing in the first round.
Ooh.
Depending on the seeding, I can see them losing on the second round, in the first game.
You know what, man? Yeah, I agree. And at that point, I feel like you got to start asking a little bit of questions about Brad Stevens at that point.
Yeah.
Or Danny Ainge.
The East is strong this year.
Yep.
We still only have 4 for sure teams. And so, okay, here's for my last, the 8th seed, as usual. I have 4 bubbles. You said Atlanta. The reason why Atlanta isn't for sure is because preseason, they don't look good. They don't look good. Trae Young has been inconsistent. I worry about their defense. Their 6th pick this year, I don't even know if he's played. Bojang and Danilo, their defensive liabilities. There's just so many questions with them. Another one I have with the Orlando Magic. They've been the 8th seed for the past 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, and at under 500.
But the thing that Orlando has over Atlanta is that Orlando has NBA-ready players. They have Terrence Ross. Mm-hmm. They have Evan Fournier. They have Aaron Gordon. They have Vucevic, who will go ham on any of Atlanta's bigs. So there, mm-hmm. That's one. The third one, the Charlotte Hornets, as usual.
Oh, dude, no, I ain't even mad.
Yeah, as usual. I think LaMelo is going to help a lot. I think he's going to help everyone. So, but the last one, and the one that gets looked upon, and I am actually going to choose them as the 8th seed, is the Washington Wizards. Last year you had no John Wall at all. This year you have Russell Westbrook that will probably play almost all the games. You add Russ Westbrook and Bradley Beal.
compared to those four teams, they are definitely the two best players. You know, you add a Thomas Robinson, Thomas Bryant in the stretch five. You add, you know, they have a lot of young wings. I don't know. I haven't seen much from Denny yet, so I'm not sure. But the fact that you have two all-stars on your team, you're probably going to get the eighth seed in the East.
Mm-hmm. No, agreed. So, you know, I gave you my eight teams already. So, but I got two teams that are on the outside who could sneak in. I don't know. I just feel like the Hawks are going to surprise some people, even though they haven't, you know, played that great so far.
I agree.
But two teams that I feel can shake it up, and I got them on the outside looking in, are the Washington Wizards. Mm-hmm. Obviously, for all the reasons you just stated. And all right, man. I'm going to get on the train with you. I got the Charlotte Hornets as well, as being a team that could shake it up.
Yep. You know what's that?
I got that impressed by LaMelo Ball. What's up?
Not one of us mentioned Chicago. That's how shitty they looked in the preseason.
Yeah. Believe me, man. I wanted to so bad. I thought, hey, maybe I'll put Chicago as, like, you know, on the bubble. And I thought,
No,
I can't.
No, they look so bad. So maybe it wasn't Jim Boylan. All right, let's go to the West. This one, I am going to surprise a lot of people. I'm ready for it, though. I'm here for the smoke. Okay.
You go first.
I go first. Okay. Clippers.
Yeah, they'll definitely be in the playoffs. I agree. So you said your team. I'm going to state the obvious as well. Lakers.
Yeah. Portland.
Oh, easily. Denver.
Easily. Dallas.
Yep. Let me guess. Those are your five for sure?
I have one more for sure.
Oh, yeah, one more. I actually included the Suns.
Wow! I think they have a shot
at the playoffs this year.
They're in my bubble, obviously, but... Yeah, my 6-1 was the Houston Rockets.
I got them on mine as well. I like what I saw out of John Wall. I like what I'm seeing so far.
Damn, okay. Then do you want me to list my whole bubble?
Yeah, go for it.
Or do you want to give me your eight?
You know what? I do have eight, but since I saw that you didn't have eight and you included more in your bubble, I'm going to make my bubble right now of three. Okay. So the team that I personally have right now, I think we'll get eight. I'm actually going to put them in a bubble.
Okay. Wow, okay. So this is what I've been waiting for, and I've said this in the last podcast. I don't think Utah's going to make the playoffs this year. No, no, no. No can do. But I have them in my bubble.
I don't even have them in my bubble.
Wow. Wow. Okay. Let's hold up. Let's hold up. A few weeks ago, I said this. I know. What happened? Let's talk about that.
I was looking at – first of all, I listened to our podcast. And the part where you said they didn't do anything, and you are 100% right. They did absolutely nothing. They are seriously a Donovan Mitchell injury away, and I hope it doesn't happen, from being complete crap.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And because of that – I thought, I don't want to put – because their playoff hopes, you know, depend on one player, I can't guarantee it. Whereas, like, with the Warriors, I could still feel that they might – that's why I haven't – I'm just going to go ahead and say it now. I have the Warriors in my bubble as well. Mm-hmm. I could still see them possibly getting ahead if they lose Steph, keep Draymond, you know, lose Draymond, Steph stays healthy. There's just more to play with there if certain players get injured. In Utah – you lose Mitchell, what do you have?
Yeah. No, I agree.
And that's why I couldn't even put them in my bubble.
I am shocked. If I could be honest with you, I am shocked. Okay. So I broke down my bubble to most realistic, maybe, and far-fetched, but I still got to shout them out.
I didn't get into any of that. It's just three teams.
I know, but I like categories.
No, I get you.
I get the far-fetched ones. Minnesota and Memphis. And the reason why they're far-fetched, Minnesota, like it or not, I know I had them as biggest losers, but they have talent. There's talent there. Now, is one talent way more superior than the other? Not really. That is something that they got to figure out. And obviously, you know, the offseason of Karl Anthony Towns, we've seen him on the court. He has not been the same, and we totally, totally understand. Like, it's nothing. I'm not saying anything bad at all. But the reason
what he's been through is bigger than basketball at this point.
Easily,
yeah.
But here's the thing: they still have talent, and people forget. And I re-listened to one of the when this trade went down. They need to make the playoffs. Because if they don't make the playoffs, they lose that draft pick. And who does it go to? The fucking Warriors.
Those fucking Warriors.
They can't lose this. So that's my far-fetched, okay? So those two are my far-fetched. The maybe I have is the Utah Jazz. They, you know, Donovan Mitchell's a bona fide star. Who knows? Maybe Mike Conley will surprise me. Bogdanovich might come in shooting. Joe Ingles too. I don't like that Rudy Gobert is asking for the Supermax, and he ain't no Giannis. But it's their bench looks shit. Their bench looks shit. And
I mean, they got Clarkson, but other than that,
and you said it, they're
nothing.
They're Donovan Mitchell away. I think they're any person away. They lose Joe Ingles, Conley, Bogdan, they lose even Rudy Gobert. It's a nightmare. Mm-hmm. So that's my maybe. And so my three, I'll have them in order. Number three, I'm going to go with the New Orleans Pelicans. Great talent, but they're just not there yet. So my seventh and eighth seed will be the Warriors. Steph Curry's already looking good. And you have they have an NBA starting five. Steph, Kelly, they have who's your small forward? Oh my gosh, Wiggins, James Wiseman, Draymond Green. That's a solid starting five. Your bench is whatever. They just signed Jeremy Lin. Hopefully he can make the big team. But that's a solid starting five. And they still have Eric Pascal off the bench. They still have Jordan Poole off the bench. And yeah, that's a solid starting five though. And then lastly, that I'll have them as my eighth seed, is the Phoenix Suns. Chris Paul, D-Book, DeAndre Ayton, the big three. They still have Mikal Bridges. They still have Cameron Johnson. They're looking good.
I mean, you do realize the only two teams you didn't mention in the West were the Kings and the Spurs, right?
Yeah. 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 Because I feel like I had to do a whole breakdown because we haven't had a podcast where you broke down like the whole whole thing. But yeah, it'll be good for them to tank.
Yeah, no, definitely. So, you know, I gave you my seven and I already told you the Warriors. I just feel like it's going to be a three-horse race for that eighth seed. Because, and like I said, I didn't, you know, do seeds specifically, but I can see one of these three teams getting the eighth seed. And the first one with the Warriors, like you mentioned, I know that they have a good roster, but you're starting to see some of the cracks with some of these players as far as playing so deep into the playoffs for so long, which makes what LeBron's doing that much more impressive. But, you know, they did lose Klay. I don't think that there's anyone he can bring in to replace his production. Klay, at this point, he's a Hall of Famer. And Kelly's not going to replace that production. So
let me ask you a question, because you said you're seeing the cracks, right? Is it really cracks, or is it not having a deep team? Because I think it goes more towards not having a deep team when they had Kevin Durant, where Klay had to play more, Steph had to play more. Compared that to the early years when they had Barbosa, when they had Sean Livingston, Iggy, they had all these dudes. Harrison Barnes.
I would put it a little bit of both.
Okay.
Only because you got to realize KD hadn't played that far into the playoffs. Well, I mean, he did with the Oklahoma City Thunder, But he hadn't had those, you know, finals runs with the Warriors, and even he got hurt. Mm-hmm. So I think their style of play and then the depth plays a big role in how these players have gotten injured as of late. So, you know, Clay got hurt, for example, again this offseason. I don't see Curry. And look, Curry is a Hall of Famer at this point, one of the greatest shooters of all time. He's probably going to go down as one of the greatest players of all time as well, whether people like it or not.
Yeah.
But for me, like to sit here and say that he's going to have a completely healthy season, let's not kid ourselves either. He's going to miss games. Draymond, I feel he's going to miss games as well. And we've already seen him, you know, he's broken down a little bit from his prime. So for those reasons, you know, I just feel like a team that's being spearheaded by Wiggins, who, again, we're still waiting for him to take that step. Wiseman, we still don't know what we have there, but I think he's going to be a really good player there. Mm-hmm. And then you got Kelly Oubre. I feel that if your playoff hopes are banking on those three guys, because you can't expect your other two players to stay completely healthy, I just can't say that they're going to be a lock in the West for that. And the other two teams I got on the outside looking in are actually, I have the Pelicans. I like what I'm seeing. I like what I'm seeing on the court. I think Stan Van Gundy is doing a solid job with the New Orleans Pelicans. And I actually got the Grizzlies. I'm a huge fan of Ja Morant. I know they were, what, ninth last season?
Yeah.
I think with Utah falling out, maybe not having the Warriors be, for me, like I said, a lock, mm-hmm. I think the Grizzlies have a shot at that last spot too. And that's it for me. I just have those three teams fighting for that 8th seed.
I know I had Memphis as like my far fetch, but the reason why I had them for my far fetch is because Jaren Jackson and Justice Winslow are hurt and they're not projected mm-hmm. to come back anytime soon. And I think that's just going to give so much pressure, not even pressure, but so much. Yeah. Just John Morant's going to have so much pressure. He's going to have the ball. He's going to be forced to do everything.
When are they back?
Like, they don't even know, I think. Maybe January, February. And the season is 72 games. So that's why I had them in the far fetch, just because you don't know when they're coming back. And I looked at the Memphis. They have an okay roster, but it's not. I just don't see them making it. And maybe it's the best for them not to make it, because this next draft class, from what I have seen from the players that I'm interested in, it looks decent, and they could use another bona fide youngin.
The rich get richer.
Yeah. So talking about that, because I want to remind people about why it's so important for Minnesota to make the playoffs. It's because of this trade, right? The Warriors mm-hmm. acquired Andrew Wiggins, a 2021 first-round draft pick, top three protected. Remember, it's hard to get into that top three now, and they just got the first pick this year, right? Top three protected mm-hmm. and a 2021 second-round draft pick.
No, they didn't get the first pick this year. It wasn't the Warriors who had the number
one pick. No, the Timberwolves did.
Oh, right. Sorry.
I'm saying the Warriors acquired this. Wiggins, the Minnesota Timberwolves pick, the both picks.
Got it.
That's why it's very important for the Timberwolves to get it, because if not, there goes the Warriors. Even if the Warriors don't make it, they mm-hmm. can have two lottery picks.
Oh, my goodness.
And you know what's funny is we talked about this trade, and you remember, people were like, oh, my gosh, the Timberwolves came out amazing. They came out. They got D'Lo. And I said,
they got rid of Andrew Wiggins' contract.
Exactly. And I said, yo, in 3 years, you're going to look back and be like, I can't believe D'Lo. We got D'Lo and gave up Wiggins and two picks. It's going to happen. And, you know, it feels
enough. See, but that's where you lost me. Why is it two picks now?
What do you mean?
Because you said that they traded a 2021 top three protected.
And a second-round pick.
Got it. Okay.
So, and we've seen second-round picks do good now.
Oh, yeah.
So, shout out to Devontae Graham. But, yeah, man.
And then on top of that, you can throw in the Warriors' own draft pick, if, like you said, if they were to miss. And looking pretty nice again.
Exactly. so, man. All right, man. Any last words before the season starts? I think the season starts Tuesday.
The 22nd, yeah. Any last words? I'm happy I got Christmas basketball this year. There was a minute where I thought I wasn't going to get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I'm just happy season's coming back.
Yeah. And just
and if the season has to get shut down because of James Harden, I'm going to lose my shit.
Yeah. And just to remind people that it is Friday, December 18th, where we are when we are recording this. Anything could happen over the weekend. This will be posted on Monday. So if something happens, some big trades or whatever, it is what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is. And as always, don't forget to follow us on Instagram. We're on Twitter now, too, on @thepickupshow1. Go ahead and give us a follow there as well. And yeah, we'll run it back with you guys next time. Dee, do you want to preview a little bit of what our next episode is going to be?
Oh, man. Next episode is our 50th 5-0 episode. And what I've been working on is I've been re-listening to a lot of our almost basically all of our episodes. So I think I'm on like episode 35 or 36 right now. Hopefully I can get some of that done by next week. But there's some stuff that we called, and there's some stuff where we are goddamn wrong about. and I kind of previewed it when I was talking about the Andrew Wiggins trade, because I said that when the trade happened, and and you know, it might happen. So
yeah, dude, it's speaking into existence, or you know, in this case, we don't want it to happen.
Yeah. And yeah, so we'll see. You will hear all of our takes and misses, and I know one of them was the Miami Heat signing of Jimmy, but who knows, it's only been 1 year and something can change.
Yep.
Because
one more thing, shout out to Klee Anthony Early.
Shout out. I hope he's doing good. Bye, man. I hope so. Take it back. All right. Follow us and we'll talk to you later. All right. Late.
Peace.